I should have killed myself when he put it in me. After the first time, before we were married, Ralph promised never again. He promised and I believed him. But sin never dies. Sin never dies. Welcome to the Sunday Movie Marathon. It's me, Max.
It's me, Chris.
It's me, Confused.
On the track. Beat after beat. Off the track, off the track. Back in business a week
what
in advance.
Are you
advance.
Talking about?
Yeah. Woo-hoo-hoo! We're back, baby. Better than ever. I say that every time. I feel like we're just worse every time, actually. worse than ever.
We reached our peak. It's all downhill.
We reached the peak at fucking episode 100 and it was all downhill from there.
What episode are we on?
What? We're on episode 133 of the Sunday Movie Marathon podcast, where we talk about movies and things like that. And just talking about just things that have happened to us in the past week or so. What's been happening to us in the past week or so?
Not a lot.
I can't think of anything since the last one.
No? Was that last week? Yeah, it was last week.
Was it last Monday?
I was surprised that this one's going to go out a week after the last one, I think. So, yeah, it must have been.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've done that.
Woo! We're back in business, baby. Weekly episodes from now on.
Absolutely not.
No, it's just this one. Maybe next week. I don't know. We'll see. Yeah, I don't know. Thanks for asking. I got a hernia. We know that. but I only mention it because, like, I was just in my vocal lesson. I was like, I got a hernia. And, my teacher was like, you got to get that sorted out. And I'm like, I already went to a doctor and they said to me, this is what they said to me. Yeah, these things happen. You know, we used to live in like I was like, what can I do, doc? I'm suffering here. It hurts when I sit down. It hurts when I sing. I do not want to be in pain. He was like, yeah, you know, we used to live in like the caves and stuff. So you know how it is.
Did he actually talk about the caves?
Yeah, we used to live in the caves.
Did he try to fucking Plato's allegory you? Like,
no.
Sounds like he just couldn't be bothered to do his job.
Yeah, he doesn't care. He didn't care. I think I got a second
you
opinion.
You don't know any better.
Yeah, a second opinion because it's affecting me and affecting my life and I don't like it.
That's pretty fucked. I'm only laughing because it's so insane.
It was insane. I didn't even know what to say. It was one of those things. We're like, you're like, yeah, yeah, of course. Yeah, caves, of course, mate. And then I get out of it. And I go, did you say?
Yeah, like, I don't think
we used to live in caves, so I shouldn't worry about it. What the fuck does that mean?
Ah, maybe that's why he said it, right? So he's like, okay, if I like confuse and stun them for long enough, they won't ask any questions until it's too late.
Yeah, I know.
Hernias aren't something that just like go away either.
No, I know.
I have no idea what happens with a hernia, like, legitimately.
But I think it depends how bad it is, because if it's like a tiny one, I think that can go away.
Yeah,
but
like,
if it's not, you have to have surgery to get it removed.
Yeah, I was going to say, they're not... Uh-huh. Yeah,
they're
did
like,
they not
oh,
deem
we'll
it big
enough?
Oh,
we'll get you an ultrasound. That hasn't happened.
No, I mean...
Yeah, you might have to trace it up.
I don't want to go back there.
Don't go back there.
No, I'm going to go somewhere else.
I don't think you're going to talk to him again.
Yeah, I'll have to go somewhere else. That was like mad. That was the first time I went there.
That was mad. I can't understand how that, like,
I waited for
40
minutes for him to tell me there was nothing he could do. Just for him to, like, cut my ball and then, like, tell me there was nothing he could do about it.
He what?
No, I know.
Classic doctors.
Anything to
Did
get you out of your pants. I'm pretty sure.
Walk just some somewhere, yeah.
No, there are other people there. There was a desk
so
and everything.
So strange.
Yeah. Get, you know, it's the old, as the old adage goes, know your balls, check them out.
That is true.
I mean, I'm fine on that front, but yeah, that's annoying.
Weird,
just
yeah.
fucking annoying. Like, get something, man. Just do it. Help me, fuck's sake. It's like so annoying. Anyway, yeah, I hate, the NHS, I suppose is what I'm trying to say. Fuck those guys.
They just need some more help, some mm-hmm. critical help.
It's annoying as well because I sit down all day, not at choice, work in an office, but you know, I'd have a standing desk if I could, but that's not happening.
I don't think you'd want a standing desk.
No, that'd fuck me up.
No.
It'd be pretty annoying.
But as to sitting down all day, to be fair, so.
You can't win.
No, you definitely can't.
In one of those desks where you push a button and it lowers when you want to sit down, it goes higher when you want to sit up or stand up. The opposite.
You get one of them like tabletop things, you put your laptop on it and it becomes an upright desk.
Yeah. Yeah. One of those upright desks.
I feel like that'd just be very annoying though, because I can't stand up and work unless I have to. Well,
I feel like I'm on the DJ deck. I'm stood up.
Yeah, I have to do it quite a lot at work because my chair gets taken quite a bit.
I'm just fucking typing up press releases about like menial shit. Yeah, like I'm having a rave. Yeah.
Or if you're like me, it almost feels like I'm at a rave because I'm up, down, up, down, up, down.
Speaking of up, down, let's talk about some movies. Because that's why we're here, and not talk about the endless list of things that are wrong with me and my body. We went to the cinema. We saw a little thing I like to call Stop Making Sense from Talking Heads. We didn't go together.
Mm.
You guys went together, obviously, and I went alone.
Different cinemas as well.
To a different cinema.
Yeah.
Because Chris didn't want to come with me. Or I think Talking Heads, Big Band, and on the scene track. I only watched it for the first time this year, actually. So it's got a new 4K remaster from the old A24, bringing it back hard and fast. Would you want to talk about like how your experience was? Because I think your experience was like vastly different to mine, only because of like the audience participation type of thing.
Yeah, because to be honest, we had no audience participation. Yeah. There was no one there. So
yeah, we had one man sat at the back with his hot dog and nachos and big drink.
I respected it because I thought that's a bold choice to bring to the cinema because I bought like more transportable snacks, you see. Yeah.
A concert movie.
Yeah, because I thought I'd have a little boogie woogie.
Yeah, I don't think we even had any. Well, we took snacks, but I think that was mostly just because we watched the new Saw movie straight afterwards.
Yeah, we didn't actually eat, to be honest. I was just drinking.
No,
I was just not
for that because it's not the right.
I was just drinking coffee and having a boogie. The guy did seem pretty dead still every time I turned around, and I thought, all right then, fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know how that's possible.
It kind of seemed like he didn't know what was going on, just went to see a movie.
I do think that it's not really one of those things that you just go and see, though, is it?
I'm sure you could. You probably go into that.
Yeah,
it was
getting
a
lot of screenings.
Yeah, then why not?
Yeah.
I didn't, like, first time I watched it, I didn't know the majority of the songs. Actually, I still think I don't know the majority of the songs.
One of them isn't even a Talking Heads song.
Oh, really?
Two of them.
What do they do?
What's the other one?
So, actually, no. Technically, there's three because they do a cover. Take Me to the River. That's a cover.
Yeah.
But they do a David Byrne original song. They do the Tom Tom Club, which is
That's what I was.
Tina Weymouth and Chris France's other band, The Genius of Love, which is a banger.
I was just thinking about that bit in Always Sunny when it was playing.
Mm-hmm. Plays a few times in that show.
Yeah, it was
good.
So I went to a cinema and it was like packed. And everybody was there. I suppose because everybody loves Talking Heads, Big Band, and
Big Word.
Everybody loves their music. And I suppose, you know, I was there because I wanted to have sort of a jive and sort of boogie. Mm-hmm. But everybody else seems to not want to do that. So I don't know. What's worse, all right? Is it worse to have like one guy in the theater with you, like you guys, and he's just sort of sat there and you know everything and you know the songs and you want to just get up and dance? Or is it worse to have what I have, a packed theatre full of people who most of them are just sort of sat stock still?
Yours is definitely worse because at least with me, I got to have a little boogie in the chair and had absolutely no judgment whatsoever.
I had a woman who was sat like two seats away from me. It was like an empty seat in between us.
Okay.
And I was like jiving along. I was singing. I was, and every so often she would like look at me and I would like not want to look at her. I would like...
Were you the only one singing?
I know she's a bit out of my peripheral vision. I'm sure I wasn't, but I wasn't singing loud. I don't want to like put people off.
Because that's the only reason I would look at someone is if they were the only one singing, because I'd be like, shut up.
Yeah.
But if you're not, then I think it's a bit weird. Or maybe she was looking at you like, him? Why would... What's he doing in here, this young whippersnapper and this movie?
Sort of moving the shoulders a bit. And the days go by. The world hold me down.
I don't know how you can't do a little boo.
I physically couldn't stop myself from moving and singing. But that's just me.
Mad,
I don't know.
Isn't it?
But a lot of people were just kind of... I'm sure a lot of people were like... they're doing the old people thing. Sort of like tapping their foot. Like,
hitting their leg.
I love a good toe tap. I'm sure that's probably what a lot of people were doing. There were a few people off to the side. I mean, I was on like the right side and off to the left side. Mm. There's like a bunch of people sort of stood on the stairs just dancing. And I was like, yeah,
you should
I
want to
be on the
them.
Left side.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why am I here next to these goddamn unappreciativers? I don't appreciate it, actually.
I think maybe it's just the way that, you know, like some people just appreciate stuff in their own way. But I do think that it's almost impossible to watch that and not move like at all.
It's a double-edged sort of sword type thing, isn't it? Mm. Because, you know, you want to watch it on a really big screen with a bunch of people there, but you want to dance around. And if everybody's not dancing around, then you feel like an idiot.
Yeah.
Mm. What am I supposed to do?
I don't know.
I've got like a bunch of people looking at me like I'm some sort of buffoon, but I'm like, I'm doing it right. You're not doing it right.
Yeah, I guess it's even weirder when it's like the majority isn't doing it because it makes you think, what's wrong with me? Yeah. No, what's wrong with you?
And a few quick glances around, I was like, just sort of whip. Nobody, right, everybody sort still.
I don't understand what's happening. It.
Yeah, I don't get it. So I don't know if like the ideal thing would just be for us three to get together or like get a bunch of people who actually want to see it or like know the songs. And just sort of have a good time on our own. I don't know.
Yeah,
but like,
maybe.
Well, I don't know anyone personally that would, but I 100%. Well, yeah.
I would,
but I mean, apart from that, no. But I'm cool with seeing it again.
If it's just us four, that'd be great.
Mate, we could just rent out the whole place. It'd be great.
That's sort of, maybe that's the ideal.
Yeah.
If we had like a shit ton of money and we just rented out a cinema, that would be great.
Yeah.
We could watch it like that, but no. But hey, I'm very glad I got to see it because it's one of those you want to see it on the big screen.
It's so much fun.
Even if everybody else is kind of being a bit naff about it, it is still that experience in a way, and it's like a huge screen. I went to the number 6 in Portsmouth, and that's like the biggest screen on the old South Coast.
That is true. That that would have been slappy.
That was mad, brother. So cool to see it, and especially like with a bunch of people.
Yeah,
as much as like. I wasn't getting the vibe
doing
from them.
Anything, yeah.
It's good to sort of have it packed out.
I actually kind of liked it being empty. It felt like it was done just for me.
Yeah.
Because I am the center
more
of
personal.
My own world.
Yeah. Like David Byrne and the guys were just there for you.
Just for me.
It comes out on stage and goes, this one's for Darcy.
Mm.
He did say that. I thought that was quite weird, but I guess it was. I didn't see that the first time.
Yeah, I've seen this movie quite a few times, so it was really nice to see it. The cinema. It's one of my favourites. It's just such a thing, even if you're not a fan of Talking Heads, I think it's impossible to watch it and not have a good time.
Yeah.
I think.
This made me a bigger fan.
Yeah.
It's made me like, I was like,
yeah, actually.
I watched it when I was getting into them.
Yeah.
So that was like, I think, perfect way to really like fall in love with them because they're just like, it's such a great performance. Like, they are on the top of their game here.
Yeah.
Ned. It's just so good.
Do you have like some favourite songs that they played in here that maybe would not have been a favourite beforehand?
Not sure.
You sort of like, yeah, they're all great or more like the best.
A lot of them are, I think, better than the studio one.
So, you know, your favourite song in the whole wide world is Once in a Lifetime.
And that's incredible.
Yeah.
But the version in the movie is really fantastic.
Yeah. Love it.
It is so fun.
This Must Be the Place is great as well, where he's dancing with his lamp.
That's good, yeah. Iconic. Yeah.
I love that lamp.
I like What a Day That Was, which is the David Byrne solo song.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very, very different version that they play to his solo version because his solo version is quite bare and kind of slow.
Yeah.
But here it's like full high energy, funky, sounds like a Talking head song.
Yeah, they bring a lot to it to like differentiate between like the record, I think, even like, because my personal favourite is Girlfriend is Better.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and, hell yeah.
But that's I only realised that was my favourite when I saw the movie. I was like, that's probably my favourite Talking Heads song now. And they just like bring such a gravitas to it. It's like, it's so high energy and it's so, and all the audience is there. They're sort of filming the audience a bit. So it feels like you're there in the audience, but I'm like, oh man, what a fucking stellar gig to have gone to.
Yeah.
If only.
Like, imagine being one of those people.
You've been mad.
He comes out in his big suit.
Yeah.
They like hype it up. You see like this huge silhouette. You know it's coming.
Iconic. Iconic stuff.
That shit is madness.
I'm half expecting you to go as that for Halloween next year. Who knows?
Who knows?
That'd be great. If you get like, you could like get that commissioned or something.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll do that.
What, a big suit?
Yeah, like a really big suit. Yeah. Chris can do it. I'm not going to do it because I don't like things that
way
like,
too big.
Bloat me out or like having things on my face. I don't like that. I want to be
face?
As free. Yeah, I want to be as free flowing as possible on Halloween. You know, not yeah. anything obscuring my face or like yeah, like a mask or something or like a big suit. So I'm going to leave it up to Chris next year to do.
Okay, thanks.
Okay.
Because I know you're not going as that this year. I already know. I know exactly what you're going as.
Chris's outfit is
I already know.
Incredible.
You don't want to know how I know, but I know. yeah. It's so good. And it was great to see it in the 4K. It looks amazing.
Yeah, it does look incredible.
The stage production is like already like amazing. So that like upscale is like crazy.
Yeah, definitely. Colours and everything really pop.
Yeah, I think it's very bright, but I don't necessarily would have I don't know, I can't remember watching it on not 4K format, so I didn't really notice anything different.
The Blu-ray
kind
of looks the same, but it's a little bit more muted.
Yeah, I watched it on Prime
this
before.
Time.
Yeah, it looked quite noticeably different for me because I was watching it on Prime beforehand.
But, oh no,
I don't know if that's a big difference, but yeah.
Good old Prime.
I do hope that it gets like a release on the 4K.
Yeah, I think it will. I think it's doing fairly well.
Yeah,
but I've not really heard a lot about it.
Is that the only reason that they brought it back? Is because it got a 4K
Yeah, because A24 bought the rights to do a 4K restoration.
Yeah, I just was like, what is that? Is it like an anniversary or like it just seemed to come out of?
Yeah,
seemingly
I think it's
nowhere.
40th anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god, David Byrne's such an old man.
Yeah, but he's still kicking, still doing stuff.
I hope he kicks forever and ever and ever.
Yeah, they've reunited for like a series of Q&As surrounding this new,
which were apparently like awkward as.
Yeah,
I've heard the first one was quite awkward, but after that, apparently it was. All right.
I think that's to be expected though, because they didn't exactly end on the most like high note.
They ended on pretty bad terms.
Yeah, so I guess it kind of makes sense.
But they are professionals, you know. At the end of the day.
Yeah, man. David Byrne being the crazy G that he is.
He has so much personality from like all of them, not just David Byrne, but like, the whole band. They bring out like it's like a big band.
yeah,
it's like 8 or 9 piece or something. They've got like 3 backing vocalists. They've got. Mm-hmm. Keyboardist, extra guitarist.
Mm.
Yeah, those backing vocalists were like going ham.
They were, weren't they?
They were so good. I love them so much.
Yeah, I think even just they add a lot to quite a few of the songs.
Mm-hmm.
Like Slippery People, like especially, I think their backing vocals are so good on it.
It's pretty
crazy,
slappy.
Yeah. It's really good.
But then I could just say that about anything. You could be like, what song is slappy? That song, slappy. Like it doesn't matter what. Like I was just having such a good time that when it ended, I was like, oh man, now I've got to go and see Saw. And I was like to Chris, I kept singing one of the songs and I can't remember what one it was.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't get the song out of my head. I'm just going to be sitting in the Saw film, just like singing to myself. Don't remember. I was having a good time. I was upset when it ended. That's one thing about like seeing it before though, is that you kind of know when it's going to end and you're like, oh man. Mm-hmm. And I was like under the impression that, and I was like, oh, doesn't it end with Road to Nowhere? And then Chris was like, that's that. Mm-mm. It come up for fucking ages after. And I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah, no. So this was like their last tour, this era. I think this was like some of the last shows that they ever did as a band. Road to Nowhere was afterwards. So they never actually played it live together.
Because they did it in
American
Utopia,
what they
didn't they?
Closed with in that.
Yeah.
It was a big finish. Really big finish. Everyone sort of clapping and all that.
Yeah, that went on for like
really
ages
climactic.
If you sat through the credit scene. Like, we sat there for quite a while when it went off. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, because mine was packed. There was like a big applause at the end.
So
that's great. I think that really added to it, actually.
Did we even do anything? I think we were just like, yeah.
We sat there for a bit and then got up and left.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a shame. It was also like, it was like being at a gig sometimes because like when they would end a song, some people like around me would start talking and usually I would be annoyed by that, but because it's like a concert movie, I really didn't. I thought that kind of added to it to have people be like, oh, great song.
It's not like you're following a plot or anything. Like,
I think out of like every concert movie I've ever seen, this is the one that comes closest to actually feeling like you're there watching a gig.
I was clapping at the end of it. I'm like, why the hell am I clapping? They can't hear me, but it's great. I love it. I was having such a good time. And at the end, I like walked out of the cinema. I was on such a high. I like danced home. I was like listening to an album, just like dancing down the street. I'm like, I don't even care what this looks like. This is going great. It leaves you on that like big high. Yeah. I was like, woo, yeah, well done.
I think that's why it's like one of my go-to like movies if
it's
I'm
very
on a shit mood,
isn't it?
Yeah,
which is really bizarre because it's just a you could just put on an album. You could just put on the album, but it's not the same. It's
yeah, I listen to the album quite regularly as well. Yeah.
I've actually gone back to it a couple of times since we've seen it last.
Yeah. I remember it was like for a while, it was like my go-to hangover movie. Mm-hmm. Like the day after like going out, if I was off work or something, I would just sit there and watch it.
I feel like I would be too like dead to enjoy or appreciate how much I meant to enjoy it if I was hungover.
It would make me feel a bit better.
Mm-hmm.
There was one time I watched it with my dad while I was hungover. And that was good. He was having a good time.
See, that's actually quite a nice little core memory, whereas my family don't like Talking Heads. So
I'd never had a conversation with my dad about Talking Heads. And as soon as I put it on, he was like, oh, I used to listen to these guys. And he knew every single song.
No, not my family. They're like, oh, they're really weird. And I'm like, oh.
I might have to tell my dad about this, honestly. All the vinyl that I've got Talking Heads, I'm pretty sure were his, but we've never talked about them. But I'm seeing him at the end of the month, so maybe I'll tell him about it. But yeah.
For a second, I thought you were seeing Talking Heads at the end of the month. I was like,
no,
whoa.
I'm seeing my father.
Holy shit.
No, yeah.
Yeah. I think one of my top bucket list artists is David Byrne. Love to see him.
I'd love to see David Byrne. I actually think I would shit myself.
Yeah, me and Kai very nearly saw him on his last tour, but we were like, oh no, he'll play like too much of his solo stuff. What's the point?
You're a fool. And, like, you're an absolute fool. Even if you're a fool.
Did in the American Utopia shows where it's like mostly Talking Head stuff and the solo stuff he does do is like all fantastic.
American Utopia is absolutely fucking slappy. Now that is the one that made me go, I like this band quite a lot more than I thought I did, but that's because I think I watched that one more recently compared. I think
That's a good one. It's nice seeing him like recontextualize their classic songs.
That was also a lot
into
of fun.
Like a new setting, but performed quite differently.
Yeah,
talking about doing a double bill of those two.
Yeah,
I'll be up for that. I've not heard American Utopia.
It's fun.
Yeah, both directed by like big directors as well, because Stop Making Sense is Jonathan Demme, American Utopia is Spike Lee.
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah, it's so much fun. I'm never like always too sure about like concert movies, because like I used to when I was younger I had like Bullet in a Bible, and I was like oh man, like I could just listen to the music instead. But no, I've grown to appreciate.
I think it depends
how it is.
Like with Stop Making Sense and even like American Utopia, it's like it's very theatrical. Kind of like this. There's almost like a narrative to it, which I think David Byrne said about recently. Said that he kind of intended there to be this narrative about this like very neurotic, shy guy who like slowly as the movie like goes on, he like meets people and discovers love and friendship through the power of music and stuff.
That sounds like such a David Byrne thing to say.
Yeah.
But I'd still squish his cheeks
it,
though.
It fits, I think, because a lot of their songs are kind of like some weird guy, like his observations on human beings and life and stuff.
Yeah, he's like...
I think it's very fitting with that sort of narrative.
Yeah, I do like a good concert movie. I watched, Pink Floyd Live at Pompeii.
Oh, that's
ooh,
great.
Pompeii.
That's fucking great. That's so good. But I only watched that like at home on my own, but that's like super vibey. I think when I was younger, I don't know if they were like concert movies, but I watched a lot of footage of like live Nightwish concerts because my mum was so into it. And I was like, yeah, this is like, we must have spent like a solid year or so just watching Nightwish when they had Tarja in the band, just doing gigs, and those are so massive. So I don't know why I don't watch more of these things, honestly, but they are great when they're this good. Fucking good.
Yeah, sometimes it can literally just be you're watching a concert and they've just filmed it with a few cameras, but when they're making something much more cinematic and theatrical out
it's
of it,
like, yeah,
think
it's like a performance, isn't it? Yeah. Like
it's like a mixture of watching a gig and watching a movie, which I feel like it should be.
Just
totally. Yeah,
I'm just waiting for Ice Nine to do one, because they'd make a great one.
That would be good, actually, yeah.
They'd make an absolutely slapping one. I don't know why they haven't already.
They're all about the theatrics.
Mate, it is actually insane.
I feel like it's coming.
if they ever hear it, do it.
Remember Coldplay had a couple good ones back in the day.
To be fair, Coldplay are quite... there's a lot of scene going on. They put a lot of production into it. There we go. That's the... I couldn't think of the words.
My go-to is always Hai Long. They've got a live show called Lifa. That's on YouTube in full. But if anybody's like into like European folk music, that's such a good one to watch, I think, because it just puts you in it.
Yeah. From what you said, it seemed really like interesting, very ritualistic or whatever.
You both clips of it.
It was it was very interesting. That's the thing though. I feel like if it's interesting enough to watch, then it should be like captured at some point.
Well, I saw them live earlier this year as well, and that was like mad. It's like it's so theatrical, it's so big and huge. But
people
that's what
vibe,
you want.
Would you just kind of stand there and like take it in? Like, yeah, like
no
what
idea.
Happens?
Like,
you know what I mean,
it's
like
crazy. Yeah, a
do
lot
people
of people
sing because
like,
you kind of can't really, you know?
A lot of people were singing, we were dancing, sort of like just bouncing about. A lot of like primal screaming from the audience at that show as well, with like. There's like fire on stage and like trees and shit and people with like antlers on fire and like a lot of naked people dancing around.
Cool.
That was so they call it a ritual, and like that's as much a ritual
as I could see
from a band on stage. Like it didn't even feel like a concert, it just felt like I was like
you were
in this weird ritual type thing, and like everybody was there screaming at the top of their lungs. They like blew out like sage smoke at the beginning.
That's what a ritual is, literally the cleansing of bad energies, right? Mm-hmm. Like
crazy.
Use your sage properly, my guys. That's
you get the chance to see them live, fucking
crazy.
Do it. Because they're mad. Yep. Not making sense. Should we rate this bad boy?
Sure.
If we wanna.
Yeah, I mean it's an easy rating.
Fuck well, it. I mean, regardless,
what,
it's a 10 out of 10 movie.
Yeah, totally. 10 out of 10.
Okay.
Love it.
10 out of 10.
Yeah, fuck it. Like, yeah. I'm not even gonna
nothing to say.
Indisputable. Perfect. Fucking brilliant.
Literally, how am I supposed to sit here and be like,
never
no.
get sick of it. Watched it so many times. Listened to the album so many times.
Mm-hmm.
I think Talking Heads are quite possibly like becoming my favorite band if they're not already there. So
yeah,
I always just have such a blast with these songs and
They are always fun. They're just so crazy. Like, you never hear anything like it, really.
No, they're weird as well.
Yeah, like, they're just weird. And I guess that's part of the reason why I could understand people not liking them. But I guess, find it baffling that you couldn't like them. Does that make sense?
You've got something for everyone, though.
Yeah, they are very diverse.
I play them a lot at work, and sometimes my boss will be like, what the fuck is this?
That's legit what, that's kind of, most of the reactions I get are, this is kind of weird. And I'm like, oh yeah, but if you're on, it's almost like if you know, you know. Like if you vibe, you vibe, you know. You find your people very quickly.
I remember recommending them to Connor, and he said he listened to their first album and really liked it. And then he listened to Remain in Light and thought it was too weird.
Mm-hmm.
Remain in Light is slappy, McSlappy, slappy dappy. But I can understand that because it took me a couple of goes to get into it. Because I was like, this is a bit much.
Yeah, I think I listened to it the first time. I was like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
But now it's like one of my favourite albums of all time.
Yeah, I think they just need a couple go rounds and you kind of understand them,
Did you guys want to talk about Saw? I know you saw it.
There's not really a lot to say about it.
There wasn't really anything to say about it.
It was fun. Yeah. It kind of delivers exactly what you'd want from a Saw movie.
It kind of
feels like they know what the fans want at this point, which is good.
Yeah, they've got the formula down and it only took, 11 movies?
Very stupid, over the top, makes no sense, fucks up the timeline even more.
Mm. No!
That's exactly what
it does
I want
a little bit.
Yeah.
So, I had a good time.
Yeah.
Like it. Been watching those old ones in preparation.
Yeah, we watched the third one the
like,
other night, hilariously.
It's set between the first
and the
two,
second.
Or the second and third one. Something.
Yeah, so it's after the first one, before the second one. And then we watched the second one when we got back, I believe. And it added a bit more context to it. But it's still, like you see the timeline and it's still bouncy and makes absolutely no sense. And then they like show this one character at the end and I was like, he's been in it the whole fucking time, has he? And it's just, again, with the timeline fucking up stuff. And I'm like,
We watched
Classic.
The third one a couple of days ago and that was really bad.
Do you know what? It was a rough watch because when I was growing up and I was sneaky watching horror movies when I wasn't supposed to be, this was like my favourite one. And it's, in terms of the traps though, I think it is still my favourite because they they're all pretty creative and fun, but it actually was pretty shit in terms of like everything else that was going on. And I never realised how, like, I know we were talking about this morning, but how petty Jigsaw actually was until rewatching them.
Yeah.
Because at the beginning, he, like, talks about this guy who, like, goes to jail and keeps going back to jail. And I was like, why him, though, and not, like, the millions of other people that reoffend and go back to jail? Like, why this one guy in particular did you say fuck you to him?
Like, Amanda in the first one gets put in the trap because she self-harms.
And because she's a drunk and she's a junkie. Yeah.
Put in the trap because they smoke.
Yeah, like it's absolutely ridiculous. Yeah. And it's like
the third one, there's like a homicide detective that gets put in there just because they're too committed to their job.
Yeah.
And it's ruined their family life.
Oh, and don't forget poor Jeff, whose only crime was grieving his poor dead child. You've been grieving for too long, Jeff.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Stop doing that.
Whereas in the new one, they're like, the people actually do shit things.
Yeah, no, they were actually all terrible people.
But I guess they are. It's like John Kramer, the main bad guys. The whole film's about him. So I guess.
Yeah.
It kind of wanted to make you root for him a little bit.
Yeah, I still kind of find it fascinating that even till his death, he was like double downing on the fact that he didn't kill people. And I was like, man, the delusion is.
Wait, what? I thought that was the whole point.
Yeah, he was like.
That he kills people.
He doesn't kill people.
What do you mean?
That's what he says, he doesn't kill people.
He sticks by that. He's like, I don't kill people. I'm somewhat of like a life coach.
Oh, right. Yeah, he is wrong.
Yeah. He's what you call an angel of death,
basically.
Yeah, he says
basically. That people who die just didn't have the will to live.
Yeah.
Enough.
Right, okay.
Yeah, no, it's literally stupid, but that's
kind of the point. But
yeah,
they're fun movies, I think.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I actually really like this one.
But yeah, there's not a lot to say about it.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's exactly that. It's a Saw movie. Like, what do you want me to say? The storyline was impeccable. Chef's kiss.
What was the best trap? You don't even know.
There was like a really brutal one where this woman had to cut off her leg and like suck out the bone marrow and had to have like
that bone marrow was pretty sloppy,
man. Of bone marrow sucked out of her leg to get out the trap, otherwise she died.
I personally like the eye sucky vacuum thing. Personally, because it made me cringe the most, because as someone who appreciates having eyes and teeth and eyes are the two things I don't fuck with. And when those eyes just went pop, I was like, fuck that shit. I'm
done.
It's
in the poster, right?
Yeah.
I thought that was just light.
Yeah, that everyone was debating like what the little tubes
were
for.
Yeah, I thought they were like tubes that rats were going to go down or something.
Yeah, everyone was talking about, like acid, rats. And then someone did say vacuum, and apparently, like, there was like a teaser thing on like Twitter or something somewhere. Not that I ever use Twitter, so I don't have a clue, but there was like a little clue where someone spotted like a vacuum and they were like, oh, it's going to vacuum someone's eyes out. And lo and behold, it does.
That trap was quite funny as well because it wasn't even a real trap. It was like, John was like imagining doing it to this person if he like made this bad decision. And this person changed his mind at the last second.
Yeah.
So it didn't actually happen.
Good choice. And I was like, okay. Like, I find it really hard to believe that someone who's like got like terminal brain cancer or whatever is like out here like setting up traps and killing people as if he's well enough to actually put in all that effort. Madness.
Well, he gets help, right?
Yeah. But like for the first two movies, for the first one and this one, he does it on his own for the most part. And I'm like, how are you doing that? And he's like, I'm an engineer. I've been making traps for so many years. So it makes it seem like he's been killing people like forever, basically, which is really weird. But it's not actually the case because I think they explain it in the second one. He tries to kill himself. And then he's like, well, I didn't die, so I guess I'm going to have to kill other people. It was strange. Very strange.
Yeah.
Okay. Have you seen any of them?
I've seen the first three, I think.
Yeah, to be honest, you probably only need to see the first two, I would say. And maybe this one. This one's all right. If you want to watch the timeline.
No, I don't.
Sixth one's good.
I don't like any of them.
Yeah, if you don't like the first two, it's not for you. Yeah.
This is the thing, though. I feel like they're not movies to really be liked. I say that, I fucking love them. But what I mean is, like, I don't think anyone sits down and goes, oh, really, like, so excited to watch people fucking die.
That's the whole thing. That's the whole point of it. Everyone's so excited to see how people are going to get their innards torn out or whatever. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Sick movies for sick people, and only sick people watch them. And that's the whole reason people go and watch them, is to see what kind of fucking bullshit they're going to pull in this one.
I mean,
what are the traps going
to
be?
Yeah, I'd be lying if I said that wasn't exactly the only reason I watch it, is to be like, what kind of fucked up shit?
I got light bulbs in his eyes. I got to go see the thing to go and see what that is.
Yeah, I hate to say it, but that is pretty much every single time I've watched one, I've gone, wonder what sort of weird fucked up shit they're going to do next. But apparently, because of the success of this one, they're going to make yet another one. So I don't know how you're going to fuck up the timeline even further.
Yeah. This is all that Lionsgate have.
Yeah.
And Hunger Games. And they're bringing that back.
Yeah, I can't wait.
That was another franchise that ended, and they were like, oh shit, we've got nothing left.
Yeah. We just ended John Wick. Now we have nothing. We got Saw, and that's it.
God.
Give it a couple of years, John Wick will be back.
Well, they did that spin-off show.
Yeah.
And I think they're doing a spin-off movie with Ana de Armas. It's like a ballerina or something.
What? John Wick?
Yeah, it's like she's a ballerina, but she kills people.
An extended universe now.
Yeah. Oh, fuck off. I'm so sick of these extended universes.
I've not heard anything about that show. I swear it's been out for a few weeks, and I've literally heard nothing about it.
I only know about it because I remember you going, oh, that John Wick show thing is out. And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? John Wick.
Bring him back. He's back again, or even more wickery. Guys, want to rate Saw X?
I'll give it like a 6. It was pretty fun.
Yeah, I think a 6 is apt.
Cool.
A lot of people are saying it's one of the better in the franchise, and I probably agree with that.
It definitely is. I wouldn't say it's the best, because that's what most people are like getting to grips on.
Yeah,
but
I'd say if I was being critical, I'd say the first one's the best still.
Do you know what? I actually really liked the first one oh my God, how many times have I seen it now? Like 3 or 4? The first one is probably like the best one.
I like the second one, but it is a really terribly made movie. Just a lot of fun.
It is the most disgusting looking movie. It's like so vomit looking. It's like green
classic
and yellow.
Darren.
Vile.
Thank you, Darren.
Yeah, thanks,
bring
man.
Bring us great movies all the time. Cool.
Speaking of great movies all the time.
Me and Chris watched Past Lives, which is a great movie all the time.
Indeed.
Was it where I was going with that?
Celine Song joint.
Sorry.
Debut movie as well.
Debut movie. This, what the fuck? Jesus, really? Oh my God. Okay. So Darcy didn't see it with us. We went with Kai. It's about this this woman and this man who knew each other when they were children, and the girl goes away to America, and they lived in what, Korea?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Seoul.
In Seoul, yeah. And it's basically about them sort of reconnecting over the years, like 12 years go by, they reconnect again over Skype, and then like another 12 years go by and they reconnect again, and it's just about this tight little thing, like, the friendship or whatever over the age. Very simple in its plot, but it's dealing with a lot of complex emotion. I didn't really know anything about it going into it, but I had a very good time with it. You know, you say debut, fucking hell.
Yeah, it's insane.
It's a mad fucking movie. Just with, like, the emotionality of it, I think it hits a very specific emotional nerve with me.
Yeah.
I think there's just like something that I find like endlessly relatable about this idea of like two people who like used to know each other and then sort of get back in touch and then try to form some sort of bond with each other, and then but like sometimes it just doesn't work out, and like because he lives in Korea, she lives in New York, and just like, when am I gonna get to see you? And he's like, I don't know, like a year and a half or whatever, and it's like they're sort of slowly falling in love over Skype, but like that's not sustainable if like they can't see each other. They decide to not speak to each other, and it's just like, oh God, it's oof, a lot to do.
That was oof.
Like, yeah. Past life, like we knew each other in a past life,
yeah,
or we'll know each other in the next life. And it's like that I think I resonated a lot with this idea that like when should we just say full spoilers for Past Lives, because I'm just gonna like whatever. Go watch it.
Yeah, Darcy will forget.
Yeah, it's great. So like eventually this woman gets married to somebody who's not this guy, and I found the husband to be very this very jealous person, this very insecure person, throughout the entire movie.
Yeah, he makes a lot of jokes about how he's like the classic like American guy who's in the way of this happy relationship in the movie.
Well, you should have picked up on the fucking hint then.
Well, you know, you say that, and that's a, like, because he's there being like, oh, I like your story with you and your childhood sweetheart. That's a much more romantic story than just like we met and now we're together.
Mm. Well, isn't that what happens to like most people though? They meet and then they...
Yeah, but it's the end and then he's like, oh, what about this like doomed love that's like across the years and it's so much more heart-wrenching and romantic and idealistic. And there was this idea where she just goes, where he asks, what if you had met somebody else that night when we met and he was exactly like me, what would happen then? And she was like, I'd probably be with him.
And yeah, she was just kind of like, but that didn't happen. Yeah, but it did. I met you.
Yeah. I love just like that as the theme. Yeah. It's like, we have what we have. And there's no, we can guess at what might be till the cows come home, but it's not going to change anything. So that we just have to take what we have and either be happy with it or change it. But she says to him that it doesn't matter. Or like, if I had never left Sol, probably would be with him or maybe something else. I don't know. We just can't know these things. All we have is like what we have. And there's no point in like getting lost in what might have been. That's going to drive you insane. So I just love this idea of like sort of linearity with life and like these different like, oh, we knew each other at past life or whatever, but they're just different strands. You can't know the strands.
Yeah.
All you know is just what it is.
They reference quite a lot this like Korean thing called Inyeon, where it's like this belief that every interaction you have with someone, even if it's like quite meaningless, it's like because of interactions you had with them in your past lives. So like you could just touch someone, but in their past life, maybe you had a relationship with them and you knew them. And I think they tie that into the two leads' relationship as well, kind of about how even though they lived that same life over like, although they're the same people over these three different points in time, it, in some ways it's a completely different life.
Yeah.
And how it could have stranded off into different points where they could have been together or not.
Keep bumping into each other, keep coming back to each other. It's like this very strong thread between the two. I loved everything in like the ending, and I thought that was like gut-wrenching.
Yeah, the ending's really great.
I don't know how to describe what I was feeling or like what the movie was sort of saying, but I think it knew that what it was saying was so indescribable that they could not say it with words. It's just like he comes to see her, they go to dinner with her husband, and then at the end of it all, it's like he has to go back to Korea. And again, I don't know what they were thinking. I don't understand, like totally understand it with like words, but it's like she like breaks down crying after he leaves, and like that's just like what it is. I don't know how to describe it. And if you've ever sort of been through a thing where like you've been so close with someone and you leave for years and years and years, you come back together, there is this like there's something there, and it's not like a romantic love with very idealistic. I don't know how to describe it, but it's like, you know, when we didn't see each other for years and I came back and sort of we started interacting again, there was definitely that feeling where I was like, it's just very difficult to process that kind of emotion. It was very emotional, I think. He was sort of holding on to the girl he used to know, and she has this like whole life, and there's no way that she's going to leave it. You know, she's not going to leave her life for being married to this guy, because that would be insane. And she's built her whole life in New York, and to splinter off and like go with this guy who she used to know, I guess it was a very idealistic way of looking at it. And like, but it's just not realistic. I just didn't think that was going to happen. And I like that it didn't happen. Otherwise it would feel like we were cheated. And then like, what happens to like her husband?
I feel like it would have defeated the point of the movie.
Yeah.
Would have felt cheap.
Yeah. Yeah. It's such an insanely powerful scene, I thought, when she like goes back to her husband. Like just cries into him, and he is like, yeah, get it. I know what you're feeling. I don't. He was like jealous the whole time, and was like kind of scared of losing her, but also like there's this bond that he's never going to have with her that they have with each other. But he ends up being married to her, and that's another thing in and of itself. I think like to meet someone again after so long, like this idea of like seeing it in all the ways that it could have been different, and then to watch them leave because that's just how it goes. Is very heartbreaking, but it's not traditionally heartbreaking. It's like, it's not romantic, but it's like something else, but it's like just as important. And it's like getting to grips with this idea that like we're very accustomed to being like, if you have these very strong emotions towards someone, gotta be romantic.
Yeah.
But it's just like the opposite in this. It's like, it's just this like life throughout, like, what, 24 years or something? Or something like that? Yeah. Yeah. Like 12 years and then another 12 years. And it's just like, fuck. It's crazy. I don't know how to describe it. The movie doesn't know how to describe it, but it does it without saying what it is. And it still communicates what it wants you to feel. It's very emotional at the end.
Yeah. Really.
I was ready to break down. Yeah. I just love it so much. I don't know if we had anything more to say on it.
No, not really. I think we covered most things.
We covered it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Other like great things, great performances. Mm-hmm. Really, really fantastic writing as well.
Oh yeah.
Looks great.
Looks great.
Yeah, just a really well made movie all around, I think.
Super well paced.
Yeah.
It's tight, really tight.
Surprisingly funny as well.
Yeah, yeah. A lot
of good laughs.
Yeah. A lot of good laughs. Good one if you want to have a good laugh and maybe cry a bit.
Yeah.
We'll rate it then.
Yeah, sure.
Past lives.
I had a really good time with it. I'll definitely watch it again. I could actually see my rating going up on the second watch, but now I'm pretty happy giving it a 9 out of 10. Love it.
I connected with it on such a level. It felt very familiar to me, but in a way that I've not seen before from a movie. It felt very unique in that way. Especially in the story that it was telling. Oh, I'm going to give it a 10 out of 10. I think it's like amazing and one of the best movies of the year.
Yeah, definitely is.
Do not be surprised if this ends up on like the top of the top for me.
Yeah, I think it's in my top 5 now.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Right. Okay. So now we're going to move on to the marathon that we did yesterday. We watched... We watched the Creepshow movies. Creepshow 1, 2 and 3.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
These are... sort of anthology movies, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Creepy stuff going on.
Yeah, started as a collaboration between George A. Romero and Stephen King.
Yeah.
And then kind of evolved from there.
It evolved, all right.
Yeah.
In a sort of downward way.
Regression, yeah. Perhaps.
What's the first one about? Well, I don't know. If you want to, like, describe sort of, like, what these are sort of about,
yeah,
but there are different stories.
Yeah,
to it.
Yeah, there's not really.
So yeah, obviously anthology movies. The first movie, Creepshow, from 1982, directed by George A. Romero. It's kind of like inspired by a lot of the comics, like horror comics, like Tales from the Crypt from the 50s and stuff. That both George A. Romero and Stephen King were a big fan of. It's just 5 horror stories essentially with this like comic book sort of angle tying them all together.
Yeah, it's look, okay, so this sucked. These are all bad.
Am I also the only one, like, kind of, because there were so many separate elements to each movie, I don't know what happened in what.
No clue,
anymore.
Yeah, no,
yeah,
idea.
So I don't even know how we're going to even talk about these as their own individual things.
You want to do it like that?
I don't know how. I actually don't, unless someone tells me what was in them, I don't think I can. And what I mean by that is I don't know what happened in each one.
Okay,
still
so
the same.
The first movie, it starts with the Father's Day bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Where there's like a old man comes back from the grave to get his Father's Day cake.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The second one is about Stephen King, who plays a farmer who discovers a meteor who then turns him into a big plant.
Yeah.
Yep. Horrible stuff.
Yeah.
Third one's the one with Ted Danson, Leslie Nielsen.
Yeah.
Where Leslie Nielsen buries him.
Yeah.
It, look, man, I mean, we can...
I'll be honest,
fourth one's about a creature in a crate.
Yep.
Oh,
goes on
off.
For like an hour,
crate,
it feels
yeah,
like.
Yeah, crate one.
And then the last one's about this rich guy who gets attacked by cockroaches.
Cockroach? Oh, yeah. Well, let me tell you now, Chris. The second you started reading them,
yeah.
I thought... Fuck,
yeah, I was like, I'm so bored. Will you stop saying what these are about?
I have seen this movie before.
Have you?
Just
fucking
this one,
hell.
Yeah, I watched it when I was a teenager.
Why
I think.
Did you
seen all of these?
Willingly?
No, just this one.
Do
right,
this
the first one.
Because
I liked it when
no.
I watched it previously. I didn't even hate it. I just think it's pretty. It is, I think, like all anthology movies, it is very hit or miss, but there's not really any hits
Both.
For me. Except for the one with where they get buried. I did actually really enjoy that section.
I feel like I was only interested in it, though, because I was like, that dude from Cheers is getting buried in the sand.
And I quite enjoyed the first one, the Father's Day one, but everything else, just it went on way too long. they were quite obnoxious at points as well. But I think there's like, I kind of get what they're going for, inspired by these like old 50s comic books where it's going to be quite tropey and kind of very basic horror cliche sort of thing. And I think they could have done some fun things with it, but ultimately it just goes on way too long.
Yeah,
it's
I
just
like
too
the
much filler.
I think it was just executed
it
in
really,
the most boring
really
manner.
Needed to be trimmed down by quite a lot.
It didn't need to be 2 hours.
I think they needed to just have more fun with what they were doing. Because there's like real, like great flashes of just them having an absolute blast of what they're doing. Every once in a while, like they'll go really far with like the comic book angle and there'll be like really crazy lighting and like cartoon effects and animation and shit. Whenever they're doing that, it's a lot of fun, but there's just not enough of it.
I feel like that peaked in the first, actually, because they were doing like little comic frames and the sound effects and stuff.
I
and
liked
then
all that
straight
stuff.
After that, it was almost as if it never happened in the first place. It just became another clip show movie.
I feel like I would have liked it if it was like in service of something that held my attention, but it's so boring. Like everything that's happening is so boring.
I just didn't really. I didn't really care.
I'm like, oh, that could have been. That would have been good in a better movie. But it's not in a better movie, so it sucks.
I think they just spend way too much time setting up all of these stories.
Mm. I get it, but don't.
There's not really a lot to any of the stories. They are very, very basic. They are very basic premises. There's not really a lot you can do with it. But for some reason, all of the segments go on for like half an hour and
that
it just
crate
gets really
one was actually offensive. That one was so long.
I hated
long.
The crate one.
So
as we
offensive.
Were watching it, I think I realised that when I watched it previously, I think I turned it off at that bit. I think I carried it.
I just think that could have been its own movie because it was that long.
Yeah. He like hates his wife. Is like
she is a cow.
It's like, he's like, I hate my wife so much. I'm going to get her eaten by the box monster. Like, why don't you just get a divorce?
Yeah,
a
divorce.
And she doesn't like him either. She keeps saying, where would you be without me? I'm like, well, I would just leave you then. Like, if that's what you're on about, like, come on, just leave. Well, you don't need to have this big rigmarole with a crate monster. It doesn't need to happen.
Yeah,
it's so boring.
Where's the mediation come in?
I left a lot during this. Just like going out of the room.
I was having pisses all the time. Just like bored wigs. Yeah. I'd be like, I'm having another bored wig.
A couple of times I looked over at Max and his head was like directly faced at the ceiling.
Honest
almost
to God,
asleep.
like face in hand, there was a lot going on that I just looked at Max and I thought, same boy, same. Like, what on earth?
I noticed there was like a lot of weird, like anti-rich subtext going on. Like every single character in the movie's like a rich person pretty much, and it's just like seeing them get their comeuppance.
Yeah.
Which falls a bit off.
I don't have anything to say to that because LOL.
Yeah, I don't.
You know?
But again,
I don't give a shit. Eat the rich. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah. I mean, it's better than the blatant racism in the other two.
Yeah. Oh, wait, in the other two, I don't remember it.
At the same time as they put too much into the setup, they also like don't make you care about the characters or what's happening to them.
Yeah,
oh, yeah, like,
that's the thing.
Yeah, like when they die, I'm just like, cool.
Yeah, that was
guy. I guess I did kind of feel bad for the plant man.
Stephen King. Make it plant.
I didn't. I hated that segment. It's so annoying.
It was so bad.
But I felt a little bit bad for the plant man when he became the big plant.
When he got annihilation. No, I hated it.
Oh, I felt a little
bad. I thought it was so bad. It was all
the
terrible.
The segment in general was pretty...
He was annoying.
Yeah,
he's not
really
very good at it.
He's not.
You can't act,
You can
man.
Tell why he doesn't do it.
Yeah, which is fair enough to stick to writing stories, I suppose.
The film actually kind of encapsulates a lot of what I don't like about his writing from what I've read. Because from what I've read of his stories, I think there's really great premises and stories and characters, but it's just so much like filler. There's so much fat that
like,
needs trimming down.
Yeah, like, aren't most of his book 7 million pages long?
You get, like, a whole chapter just talking about characters, like, daily routines, making their breakfast and shit.
Oh, that sounds like the most boring shit ever.
Yeah, and, like, a lot of the... I remember reading The Shining and finding that so dull. Because, like, it took, like, half the book for them to even get to the hotel. Most of it was literally just the same scene repeating over and over again. That's kind of how I felt about
I just don't understand
movie.
How that is.
Because in the movie, they go straight there.
Yeah.
It's even weirder. Like, this movie is like, I'm one of those people that's like, oh, I can follow it because it's in shorter segment. You know, there's another thing to keep me interested. But I just didn't care about any of
it. It all felt like the same thing, though. Just sort of blended into the next one.
Yeah.
I think they're all too similar.
Yeah.
There's not enough standing them apart. Then they really needed to like go for like a completely different style for every single like different like premise and style.
Yeah.
Like horror is such a diverse genre. I think they could have done a lot more.
Yeah, I think they didn't
care about that.
Yeah, I think they just wanted to do like the I don't know the more cliche kind of.
But even
scenario.
Like something like Trick or Treat, I think that's like a good example of an anthology movie that.
Trick or Treat
kind
was
of
way
all
better.
Feels like one thing, but they do enough
it
with it. Yeah, it all ties in.
Which
but,
is probably where this film went.
But I think with that like movie, you've got like loads of different types of horror. Like you've got vampires and werewolves and all this different shit going on. Whereas this, you don't really get that. It's all just kind of feels like the same.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, God. I'm actually yawning. Oh, my God. I'm so sorry. That's just, that yawn just, that was just the whole experience. I mean, it was just a little bit.
Also,
like,
it's
like
impossible to hear anything that anyone's saying because everyone is
happening?
Mumbling.
Every single.
I don't know if it's like the acting or the sound mixing, but it's like impossible to understand anything.
I think it's both. In the crate, it was the worst. The poor man's like stammering because he's seen this weird box creature and all you can hear is and I'm
I almost
like, what?
Didn't notice it because I was so uninvested.
What?
They could just be saying anything. I don't care what they're saying.
No.
So like it just didn't like really register to me most of the time that they weren't like you couldn't understand what they were saying because I just didn't care about what they were saying.
It was so hard to pick up.
We didn't have subtitles, so it was like, well, just whatever. I don't know. I don't know what's happening. I don't care to know what's happening.
I was honestly making up quite a lot of the dialogue because I don't. Thing is, I don't know if I even heard it right.
It doesn't matter either.
Yeah, it really doesn't. It really doesn't.
Great, this movie.
Yeah.
Get on to the next one.
What are we going to rate it out of?
Plant Man.
Okay.
I feel bad for Plant Man.
I don't.
Yeah, anthology horror movies are like, I feel like there's something that they should be good, but I've not really seen any except for Trick or Treat that I've enjoyed. They always feel way too hit or miss, and this one is just very messy. I kind of understand how people enjoy it, and it is a bit of a cult classic, but yeah, just didn't really get a lot out of it this time around. 5 Plant Men out of 10.
2 Plant Men out of 10. Sucked.
4 Plant Men out of 10.
I like that I was the only one that went plural with Plant Man.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Well.
I don't know what that is.
Because it's not real. That's why. Chris is making a mountain out of a non-existent molehill.
Creepshow 2 came out
Electric Boogaloo.
1987. It was directed by Michael Gornick. And this one, you got 3 stories. You got, I guess they got names. Old Chief Woodenhead is where like...
Was that what it was called?
Yeah. The shop owners get brutalized by this teen gang. And then a wooden statue of an old Native American guy comes to life and kills them. In the second one, called The Raft, there are some kids, they're teenagers that go, they swim onto a raft in a lake. And there's like a sort of thing, like a blanket in there. Sort of.
Looks like tissue.
It's like oil.
Big thing of oil slick. Sort of, sort of gobbling them up. And they're like, oh man, don't get gobbled up by the oil slick. And then like simultaneously, they also like really want to have sex with each other. So like they're sort of battling that, like, I don't want to die from the oil slick, but I also kind of want to get laid. So it's very conundramatic for me. The third one, The Hitchhiker. This one was hilarious. this woman.
Absolutely long.
Who like doesn't pick up a hitchhiker and she hits him with a car accidentally. And then he's like, he comes back as a ghost or a zombie or something. She can't get rid of him. And he keeps saying, thanks for the ride, lady. Those are the stories. I'm sure there's like a bit here and there about like the comic book itself, but like whatever.
Yeah, there was like this really bad like
is his name Billy?
Animated sequence. looked like it was taken from like a really shitty 80s animated cartoon TV show. Yeah.
Billy runs away from the bullies.
Yeah. Like, at least the animated sequences in the first movie actually kind of feels like a comic book.
Yeah.
This just feels like you've cut to an episode of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or something.
What do we say? We were like, oh, this looks like Korn's music video for Freak on a Leash. If it was like way worse. We were like, yeah, Freak on a Leash looks better than the animation in this. So after we finished this, we watched the MTV Unplugged Freak on a Leash by Korn and Amy Lee.
Yeah.
That is actually a sick version.
Yeah, it's good. It's great. Good one. But Creepshow 2, I don't know. It's like, these are all like the same to me, but like, at least I sort of remember what's going on in this one.
I found this one just as uninteresting, which is...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for me, I definitely liked this one a lot less, but I found it a little bit more enjoyable just because I thought it was very bad.
Yeah.
I was getting a lot of big laughs out of this, particularly the oil slick one, the second one. That was just genuinely hilarious.
Yeah, so funny.
Oh, I just honestly loved the fact that it looked like someone had just like put a massive tissue in the water. You know, that like scrunched up, like ugly look. It was also like how like quick it moved.
Yeah, it was like venom.
Yeah, no. Yeah, it's just lame. I don't care. I don't even have anything to say about any of these because oh my god, when that last one started, I just want to kill myself. Oh my god, I'm so bored. I'm bored just talking about them. They're so boring. I don't even want to talk about them.
It was definitely a good idea for them to stick to three segments.
Three was actually probably the best option.
Shorter length, but it's still, each segment feels too long. They still spend way too long setting it up for the payoff not to be that interesting.
Yeah.
Particularly the first one for me. That was like, I thought the actual payoff sequence was quite funny and I did kind of enjoy it, but all the setup to that was just weirdly racist, not very interesting, annoying.
When that lady was like, I used to be a massive racist, but now I love you native Indian people, whatever it was.
Gave me these beads as a compensation. So now, because your people owed us money, even though we work at like this store, the middle of nowhere. It's like, I used to not be too fond of you guys, of your people, but now I kind of like you. I'm like, wait, what? What do you mean? Because he gave you these beads?
It's like some really bad, like, Native American stereotyping as well.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there are a lot of things wrong with this movie. Like, when Stephen King comes back out again to reprise his role of some random fucking guy who's in the movie.
At least he's only in it for like 2 seconds.
Yeah,
he
literally
doesn't have
comes
his own
out
segment.
Of his truck, goes, oh, you got a hitchhiker, you hit there. Looks like a black man. Ha ha. And then like, he just fucked off.
I forgot about that. That was weird.
I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, and then, you know, you got the weird scene in that lake one where that guy's like nearly raping that poor girl. That was also
pretty
fucking
weird.
Seen
all of his friends be murdered before his very eyes, and he's like, "Well, it's just us two here now. You go to sleep, baby girl. I'll watch out for the oil slick venom monster in the lake." And then, gets to the morning. He like lifts up her shirt. I'm like, "That's touching her." I'm like, "Wait a minute, what's happening here?" She gets got as well. Like, whatever. Like, it doesn't matter.
That wasn't
swims
too surprising.
Away. This thing is, like, quite fast, but he, like, manages to sort of swim away from it.
Yeah.
And he celebrates that he, like, bested it. When he's, like, on the shore, it's like, if it could go onto the raft in a sort of way or, like, reach up through the raft, why couldn't it get you while you were just there at the shore's edge?
Yeah, I don't know why
I win.
And then it just jumps up and
yeah, like, how stupid was he to think that he'd gone far enough?
He went too far, man.
Like, he didn't...
Yeah.
I hate it. Like, I'm falling asleep. I hate it.
Yeah, pretty funny last one, though.
That last one was just... I was just so... Honestly,
yeah,
like,
I was really
over it.
I was getting really annoyed because it just kept repeating.
It also just kept going. I was like, right, it should be over by now. Wrong.
She just keeps driving and he like keeps coming back.
Yeah.
Like, thanks for the ride, lady.
Yeah, she gets him off the car, runs him over, and then drives away and is like, oh, it's all over now. And then it happens again.
Yeah.
that happens like 5 or 6 times.
Yeah, I can't.
And it's not even like she does anything different to get him off the car. She just does the same shit.
He keeps saying it, and like, dude, if this guy cared so much about getting a ride, I think I'd just give him a ride.
Yeah.
Honestly, save myself a lot of hassle.
Yeah, but
well, my poor guy, he like kind of hasn't done anything to her. Like, just wants a ride, and he's just like, he's dead. I'm gonna kill him over and over and over again. He kills him so many times. He just keeps coming back. My God, this guy's
what she do?
Poor guy. Just kind of death-proofing it on the roof of a car.
It was pretty. That part was pretty fun.
Yeah,
but the rest of it was god awful, and I never want to see it ever again.
Bloody Ralph Bakshi Lord of the Rings ass animation on it as well.
Yeah, half the time, like, the image for the animation was blurry as well. Mm-hmm. I don't know what was going on there.
That was really ugly and really slow.
It was
bad. Like, I don't know, like, the frame rate was, like, so off.
I think we can rate this.
Yeah, there's nothing to say. It's Gabargio.
Yeah, because they're on the barge or whatever, on the raft.
Rate it out of oil slick.
Sure.
Rate it out of oil slick.
Yeah, this is a bad movie, but kind of funny. Got a few laughs, and sometimes that's all you need. 3 oil slicks out of 10.
I don't even know.
Yeah, thanks for the ride, lady. But it was when they were at their little shop at the beginning, they had a thing that said, here you can test your horoscope and your weight. I'm like, what kind of a machine is that?
Yeah, I still don't understand how that works, because they're not exactly mutually exclusive.
Oh, slowly the woman Martha like falls to the ground, and she gets like shot in the side at point blank range, and the blood goes like out
the
of her
way.
Front.
Yeah,
and then she's like, "Oh, fuck, man!" And then she like falls very slowly to the ground,
and then he gets shot and just stays standing up and slowly falls over.
It's a shotgun. It's a shotgun.
Like, maybe if it was just like a pistol or something, you'd understand, but a shotgun.
Yeah. 2 oil slicks out of 10. Yeah? You good? You alright?
2 oil slicks out of 10. Never talk to me again. Oh,
I don't want you to put your mic back. You gotta announce the next one.
Oh, man.
Just tell us what the stories were.
Okay. So, Crip Show 3 came out in 2006. And the stories for this one are Alice, the radio, Pool Girl, the professor's wife, and Haunted Dog.
Jeez, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Although.
Yeah, that's the list that they've given me.
Dang. Okay.
And they were all like, this is one of those movies where they tried to make it semi-connected, because all of the stories came back into one secular sort of like neighborhood city type thing.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone kind of knew each other and all the stories kind of ran at the same time. But I'll be honest, I have absolutely no idea what possessed them to make this, because
19 years after the second one.
No way should they have done this.
No, it's very bad. So Alice, first one, Alice.
That was my favourite one.
It was pretty funny.
Yeah, because it was goofy as fuck.
Like, turn this remote on every time they flick switch on the remote. A family turns into a different ethnicity.
Yeah, I like that. I like that she just comes in and they're like speaking Spanish.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
I'm talking about how like we'll never get a man because she doesn't work out her butt.
What?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. Slowly turning into this crazy sort of deformed monster type thing that no one can see. Great stuff.
I like,
and of course, the classic sort of Americanism at the very end where they're like, she's disgusting. Kill her, shoot her with a gun. Okay.
And then it's okay because she gets turned into a bunny.
And bunnies are cute.
Alice the bunny. Alice the white rabbit. Sort of trying to link it to Alice in Wonderland very poorly.
Mm. For some reason they like link all of these stories together, like it's Pulp Fiction or something.
Yeah, right.
Which is, it's really weird. Especially since like none of these characters are any interesting. And they just keep coming back in the other segments and like more shit happens with them.
Yeah.
Like that professor scientist guy like comes back loads for some reason, and he's quite annoying.
Yeah, he's pretty boring.
Annoying, bro. Yeah.
Like I'm looking at the cast for some reason because I've still got it up, and most people on here have only been in this movie, and it is definitely apparent, isn't it? I suppose. I guess what else are you gonna play? Oh my god, love that. A credit is Sherry the Hooker.
Sherry the Hooker. Yeah. Thank you, Sherry.
Yeah, this is a pretty awful movie.
This movie has like, almost like no redeeming qualities, and it's.
What do you mean you didn't like the cool girl killer segment?
I mean, no. she was sexy, but it wasn't enough.
Huh?
So yeah. She was sexy, but it wasn't enough.
Sorry, girl.
I'm trying to look for the guy who actually played the.
Okay.
I don't know what. I don't know why I'm doing.
I really hated this movie. This it movie really just pissed me off.
I just think
I don't know the sort of. I thought the beginning one was kind of fire. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, the beginning one was like the highlight of the movie.
The first one was honestly the best one.
Remote
I've
short,
looked.
Kind of fire, rest, kind of sucky. Kind of bad.
Yeah, it kind of
I
got
liked
boring
that the first
quick.
One was like only like 10 minutes long. Like it was really quick, really stupid, but it kind of, I wouldn't say worked, but it kind of, it knew not to outstay its welcome, not to keep going.
Well, yeah, and it was.
Whereas all of the other ones, Jesus Christ, especially that second one with that guy with the haunted radio or something.
Jesus Christ.
I thought that was going to be like 90% of the movie.
No,
that went on forever.
Yeah. I think the last one was the one that really got my piss boiling. I just couldn't be bothered with it anymore.
Dog. That was really annoying.
Like, oh, I'm this doctor that doesn't care about being a doctor. Lol.
I think at that point, that was when we were watching it on 1.5 times speed.
Yeah, no, because I just saw Chris get up and I was like, oh, maybe he's going for a bored piss like me. He gets up to go to the laptop and he's like, absolutely not. Are we watching this at
normal speed? I just couldn't do it anymore.
You were the hero that we all needed you to do that about 45 minutes before that.
The sad thing is it didn't even improve it. It just made it even more obnoxious.
It did actually. It made all the music and all the sound stuff like really like irritating and everyone was like bouncing around, so it was like scatty as fuck.
We get ourselves into these situations.
Oh, I don't know why we didn't just go. Do you know what, it was a really fucking sunny day as well, and I was like, I know it's cold as shit, but what are we doing with our lives that we're sitting and watching? Oh, I'm so
should we just
angry
quit
about it. It'll be like
we
when
just
we
not do this anymore.
It'll be like when we what franchise to do? Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah,
we should have just done another one of those, really.
Yeah, like, stopped and then went away.
It did make that third one a bit more enjoyable though, when we came back, because we were like, here's a second wind.
Took
of
that break,
yeah.
We were going to watch a movie after this, but time came
to
it.
We considered
so
doing it in between the second and third one at one point, and I think we maybe should have.
Yeah, we probably should. I think it would have really
like,
have helped.
Cleanse our palate a little bit.
I say that, but I can't sit there and just watch films like for hours and hours and hours anyway, so I could have, even if I went to the shop, I think that's probably what I should have done. Well, yeah, slog through this bullshit.
There's not a lot of marathons we do where I think to myself, what a waste of time, because like ultimately we're doing it for this podcast and something like, I don't know.
It's because there's nothing to
talk about,
right?
It feels worth it once
we
record it, and I'm like, okay, that's out there. But this one, I genuinely was like, I've just wasted my entire day.
Yeah.
I've wasted my whole Sunday. Get 2 days off a week, and I'd spent it doing this. That's fucked up.
Yeah, sure. It wasn't. It's like, and there's nothing to even talk about either. So we're just sitting here complaining on a podcast about a movie that we were meant to watch. And we're not even talking about nothing to say. Yeah. There's nothing to note. There's nothing to be like, I can't even tell people to watch it. In fact, I'm going to do the opposite. Anyone listening to this, fucking throw it in the bin. Don't even bother.
I don't even think you can get it.
Yeah, good. Good. They're trying to eradicate it.
I didn't know any of these movies beforehand.
No.
You know what? My life was just a little bit brighter.
I think the third one might be on YouTube, from what I've heard.
Right.
Well, don't scout that out.
This one in particular, I feel like there's just nothing redeemable about it.
There's
nothing that they possibly could do.
You're not
like,
missing
in terms
out
of making a movie
it.
That is done well. The acting's bad. It like the writing is so poor. It kind of feels AI generated at points. Nothing that happens makes any sense at all. Looks like shit. There's like a couple animated sequences in the film that look like flash animation from like the early 2000s.
Do you know what? I actually found that to be like the best bit, but only because it was so god awful that I was like, this is funny. I like this.
The music's bad. Goes on way too long. It's like an hour 45. Doesn't need to be anywhere near that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't even just us watching it. Yeah. We invited Robin round.
Yeah.
Why
I felt
did she
bad.
Stay?
I felt like I'd...
Why did she stay? If I could have left, I would have left. I actually turned to her and I said, if I could have left,
why
would
still
have
here?
Left.
Yeah,
she go home.
Like, I think after the first movie, she spent like basically the rest of it on her phone. At one point, she just got up and spoke to Connor for like half an hour.
I don't blame her for that. I really don't.
I did as well. I was in the kitchen sort of talking to the both of them. I'm like, I sort of have to watch these movies as well.
Yeah, I
went back and I was like, I wish I was back in the kitchen not watching these movies.
I just had another bored wee. I had so many. I felt like I was going to live in the toilet.
I felt bad for inviting her. I felt embarrassed.
Yeah. Been a while since we've done one this painful.
Oh, my. To be fair, the fast ones were pretty bad, but this one was like... I mean, I feel like there's quite a lot when we watch the marathons, but this was like a whole new level of, you know, like you can the morale in the room going down like into the ground was like much palpable, you know. What the fuck is Max doing?
Sorry, I was just seeing what time we're on. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've got nothing to say.
I'm over it, man. I'm good to rate it.
Yeah, that's crack.
If we want to rate it.
How long has this been going on for? Just out of curiosity.
Under an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Oh, how the fuck are we
about
to do
right.
That?
Well, we were speaking for like 50 minutes before we even got to Creepshow. So.
I knew this was going to be a short discussion.
Yeah.
I have very little to say about these movies.
Yeah.
They're not good. They're not worth watching. And in fact, I think we should actually just call this podcast, we watch these so you don't have to.
I think that's taken, but you know.
Yeah, isn't that like nostalgia credit like thing?
Well,
he remembers it so you don't have to.
Yeah. if this serves as anything, serves as a PSA not to watch these movies.
Yeah, exactly.
We've done our due diligence.
This is our jury service for everybody.
We watched it so you never have to. Never.
Yeah, don't put yourself through it. Not even as a laugh, because you won't find it funny. Like, you know, people watch films because they're like, oh, God, you made it sound so awful. I need to see it. No.
Yeah. Just go outside, do something else, touch grass. Hated this so much.
Yeah, it was such an awful
waste of time. Yeah. Waste of my fucking time. Let's rate it then out of Cool Girl Killers.
Yeah, I like.
Yeah, and this is one of the worst movies I've had to watch for the podcast, I'd say. Pretty trash. Like I said, nothing redeemable about it at all. One Cool Girl Killer out of 10.
These are all sort of the same to me. As much as I had just the worst fucking time with it, it was maybe not the worst time I've had with a marathon on this podcast, but like I don't know what to compare it to. It's like pretty close, but yeah, a two Cool Girl Killers out of 10. It's just like they're all the same. I just don't care about them at all.
Yeah, I think two is mighty generous. If I could give it a zero, I would, but I'm gonna give it a one Cool Girl Killers out of 10.
Nice. Thank you for listening. We've got a wheel to spin.
Yeah.
It'll tell us what horror thing we're going to watch next week. If it's not bad, if it sounds bad, I'm just not going to do it.
So we've got a couple options. So I made two lists. So one of them's a franchise one, and one of them's like subgenres, so like zombies and shit like that.
Do a subgenre.
And
I say that because then we don't have to go through a trilogy.
Yeah, then we can just pick.
Cool.
A movie.
I'm good with picking things.
Okay.
I think it's the trilogy franchises that
they do it to us.
It's the trilogy marathons that I hate the most.
Comedy horror.
Okay, fine. Comedy horror.
I feel like there's plenty to choose from there.
Plenty to choose from.
I can't think of any off the top of my head, but we'll get there.
Jesus Christ. Before we started this, I said that it was always worth it to do these marathons. Because the end result, so we get an episode where we just get to talk to each other and all that. I feel like I regret this episode.
Never want to talk to either of us again.
I think this should become the famous some lost episode that someone like Blame It On Jorge will talk about in the future.
We already have a lost episode.
We've got a couple of them.
Yeah, but this one's purposely lost. This one we just like eradicate. From the
and who's gonna know
exactly from
who's
the
who's gonna know
one day
god okay thank you for listening. That's comedy horror for the next one. In two episodes time we've got a show to watch. That's Cowboy Bebop, the animated one. Go watch that if you want.
Yeah, and we'll talk about it if you want to do that as well.
Maybe the movie if you want to watch that. Go follow our social media. Instagram at Sunday Movie Pod. Just go and follow us on there. That's it. I don't give a fuck.
Oh, look, like, the morale's gone again.
That's all we've got.
The morale was gone, everyone.
I blitzed the Twitter one. I don't give a fuck about that anymore. I'm not even doing it.
Who even is Twitter?
Any last words? Any final things for the final part of the forever?
I really hope this episode gets blitzed into the fucking sun.
Legit. If I left today and you said, oh, that's all gone actually, and it crashed, I'd be like, fine. It would just be one, I wouldn't give a fuck.
No, and I can't imagine anyone actually like caring about this episode in particular. Like, oh my god, the creep show episode.
Had a good time discussing Stop Making Sense and past lives, but fuck me.
Yeah, so I guess if they've gotten that far,
just stop
don't get
listening.
That far. Yeah, just, you can... just stop.
If you've listened this far, you should have stopped listening a long time ago.
Have a good Sunday.
Yeah, have a good Sunday.
Boo.